Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Political Prophetics Podcast with your host, Dr. Paula Price. Learn from civil and kingdom leaders, politicians, city and state officials, and more. Combine faith with facts and discover how God starts everything with a prophet, because they give God vivas, a voice, influence, vote, access, and seat at the tables of this world. Dr. Price, why should we have a podcast about politics?
I think the thing that motivated me about politics has to do with the warfare that our country's in, the embattlement of our church, of Christianity, our faith, and also how the mistaken theology that says that there is a separation of church and state, and that means that the church should stay out of the state's business. And that is not so. Yet we have pastor after pastors and leaders and sermonizers all saying that we ought not to be in politics. So I always have a funny little way that I explain politics. And this is what I say, poly people. And it's tick, how they tick. We have got to be in the ring if we're going to win or compete for the fight or the prize. We've got to be at the table. We have got to be the one that gives God a voice, influence, vote, access, and seat at the tables of the world. We don't like legislation. We don't like the laws that are coming down on us. We don't like the bullying that we're getting from Antichrist, from leftists, from political agendas and social engineers. We don't like any of it, but we aren't doing anything about it. We don't have a voice in what's going on. And if we don't have a voice, God doesn't have a voice. If we aren't influential, then God is not influential. And certainly not our God, particularly the God that founded the United States of America. And so all of that tells us we shouldn't vote, as if the voting is the most incidental or ridiculous thing that we could want to do is vote for leadership. So yes, this is a long answer, but it is an answer that makes the point. We're not there. The occultists are there. The psychics are there. The wizards are there. The diviners are there. Clairvoyants are there. Tarot readers. We have the occult is there. I ran across maybe it was a memorandum, where the FBI and the CIA are okay for psychics to help them solve cases, but not prophets. We're not there. And Christianity, well, come on, we've all been banished from the governmental sphere of domain altogether, certainly from their decision-making tables and their legislative process. I want to reverse that, but I have to start with the people who have been persuaded contrary to what the word says. We are the politics of this generation. The church once ruled the world. That's important for you to know that. We are the ones, it's the government that we did in the name of Jesus Christ. Wrong, right, indifferent, it still was about Christ. It still was about Christianity. And we have all but been abolished. We've already struggled through banishment, but we've been banished and abolished as a thought leader or contributor to modern thought, governance, and leadership. That is why we're doing this.
What is the problem with psychics and witches influencing the government? Isn't all power the same?
No. But that's like saying brain power is the same as foot power. You know, the power in your brain is not the same as the power in your foot or your heart power or anything like that. And the problem is this, that it's contrary to Jesus Christ. We can see that. Number one is polytheistic. Number two is pantheistic. Number three is paganism. And it's all of those things that Jesus Christ abolished on the cross and then sent his spirit to create and establish Christianity in this world, minus that, for him. So those are, I don't care how much they say they're for Jesus. They're not. They don't really care about the righteousness of God. They're not. As a matter of fact, in God's realm, and I'm saying God's realm, so I want to underscore that, in God's realm, in the realm of eternity, occultism is a crime. So we are wondering why we have all of this criminal activity. We're wondering why every time you turn around, a new crime has started. The citizens are being, we're being pummeled by these practices that move unclean forces against us. Now, I know that on this particular broadcast, that's why I named it the Spirit of Faith Political Prophetics Podcast, because I know that in other circles, we have various schools of thought. I don't believe in this and I don't believe in that. But you know, the fruit is speaking for itself. The things that we thought were that could be, you know, dismissed because it was spiritual. We're now, people are walking around. I go to meetings where they say, oh no, this battle is spiritual. So if it's spiritual, we need to name our adversary. We need to name our opposition, and we need to unmask their tactics and their stratagems that are being used to tackle us. Because in the end, whether we find out today or on our deathbed, in the end, it's all about a battle of the gods, and the God of creation is wrestling with one of the creatures, spiritual creatures, who felt he could do his job better than him. Essentially, that's what we're talking about.
What is the church's role in shifting or changing what's happening in the United States of America?
Well, the church's role in it is, first of all, to know that it has one. The next step that I would say the church needs to think about doing or move to do, and that is come out from behind the church walls and get out of the pew. You cannot win a war sitting in a pew. We don't care if you're in service 24 hours a day. The church needs to learn government because they've been taught about it. And how about this? The pastors have been dictating what the church will do when God did not leave his church nor his government in the hands of pastors. So we need to put the right leaders in place, because essentially, effectively, we've been out of divine order. Because God, if you look at the first order, we have the fivefold. Most Christians are very well versed in the fivefold in some level or another, unless they are rigidly denominational. Most of them are well versed in that. So we know that. But there's a threefold, which is the headship, which we would constitute as the federal part, or the federal head of the church. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:28. It says first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Now, I did an interesting study, and first means proton. Of course, we understand that proton, but there's deuteron, the one that supports the proton and bridges it. And then there's tritium. And so that's telling us that this is more than textual. It is more than theological. This is actual, and it's bio-actional. So we have to know that. And we look at the fivefold again, is first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, no. Thirdly pastors, no. Evangelists, pastors and teachers, and pastors are four. And as four, they're mentioned once, and yet I'm running around the country talking with different people, and they're broken because they can't get the pastors to move. Maybe God is shifting it to divine order. That's a possibility. And our show, this podcast, is going to talk about those things. We can say we don't want to get religious, but if we say church, we're in religion. So the church has got to come back online and realize that entity, the ecclesia, founded government in the United States. It was the ecclesia. It was not a mosque. It wasn't an imam. It wasn't Brahma. It was literally the ecclesia founded government. That's why it's being snatched from us. We have got to start telling people to vote. We've got to get civic. If they won't teach civics in school, then have civic classes in your church and make a big deal about it. Learn your country. Learn your constitution. Learn what's happening to us. Begin to have the people exposed to it. Do Zoom meetings where you actually explain this, and don't just do it as incidental. So if they don't let it, because I'm sure there are many more churches than there are schools and universities. And there's certainly many more pastors and leaders. So I would like to see us do that as well. And all to the end that we can get the church voting again. We are still the strongest muscle in this land. Christianity is still the strongest muscle in this land. Let's start increasing it. And how about this? Why don't we start breeding and brooding the revival that will bring in new, fresh souls in the kingdom to help us fight this battle?
Concerning the subject of political prophetics, is this a legitimate thing?
Absolutely. Politics and prophetics go together. I often like to say that the first politician was a prophet. Why? Because Abel is the first prophet, but he's also the first profession in the world, in the earth. Way back, can you believe that? Before the flood, we had prophets. That's powerful. And a prophet founded civilization. Not a speaker, not a charismatic leader, a prophet. We don't have one prophecy from Abel, but yet, according to Jesus Christ, who should know, Abel was one of his prophets, and he was the first prophet. Now, that all of the other ways to that, you'd have to talk with me privately if you want to get the inside details on it. But Abel was the first prophet, and Abel was the first politician. The clash between he and his brother Cain was not just nepotism. It wasn't just sibling rivalry. That clash was based on whose government would reign and whose politics would rule. God said, I want you. You can only get right with me from that which has not done me wrong, which was animals. Cain didn't want to obey. Cain actually wanted to have a government of naturism, the occult. He is the first occultist in human form. And that is why, if you read it, it's a split in the two lineages. So if Abel was the first prophet and he didn't prophesy, it stands to reason that a good follow-up question would be, what did he do? Why did Jesus call him a prophet? And it's the answer to that that tells us that it has everything to do with government. It has everything to do with diplomacy. It has everything to do with militarism. It has everything to do with the earthly communities that have grown up today to become the institutions. So when you think about it, now, in addition to that, on that premise, that foundation, all the prophets leading up to the church, the ecclesia, all of the prophets served government in some form or another. Moses starts a new government. Enoch has a government. When you look at that, so, and we go and we look at Samuel, who sets up he's the chief prophet of government. So throughout the scripture, and we're based on scripture. America says it's based on biblical values. Biblical means Bible. Bible means Christian, since we were founded as a Christian nation. And so all of that has always been leading all the way up to the church, because the church makes dictates on the fivefold or the threefold or its ministers as if it was in the Garden of Eden. The church wasn't in the Garden of Eden. The church was not at Mount Sinai. The church was not in ancient Israel. The church, God worked with kingdom first. And you know why I always like to say that? Because I'll tell you something that you should think about. Kingdoms can live without churches, but churches can't exist without kingdoms. While it is wonderful to say, name all of the religious reformers who contributed to Protestantism in the New World, it was Queen Elizabeth's office and sovereignty that authorized it. So, because they can take all of the sermons we want, we can talk about all of the revivals and the renewals and outpouring, but if the Queen said you can't leave her land, you can't leave her land. And she said that Jesus Christ made her queen, that she would establish Protestantism in the New World. And when she handed it off to James, her nephew, she made him vow to establish Protestantism in the New World. That's history we don't tell. Churches should tell them that. Saints should be validated for their concern for government. They should be encouraged to participate in either recovering it at this point, advancing it, etc. So how is that? It started with a prophet. Why? Because God starts everything with a prophet. And I don't just mean a Christian prophet. Okay, Muhammad, we can go to the Islamic ones, we can go to the dervishes, we can go through all of those, but God starts everything with the prophet, because God starts everything with his word. And he does everything by his word. And without his word, nothing happens. And so the voice of his word, and I call it institutionally, I call the entire spectrum divine communications or divine communicants. The voice of his words and that are voicing his thoughts. He begins with prophets. They're specially built for it. And when God has to go to war, he goes to war with his prophets and apostles first. They lay out the war plan. If you read the text, the prophets tell you what God is going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to move that. I'm taking out this nation. And it's the prophets. Jeremiah 1 is the most classic, and I think condensed yet comprehensive, description of a prophet's functions and work beyond prophesying. So if you want to look at it, and he is one of the few that we can say prophet to the nations, because most prophets belong to their nations and their words are usually confined to their nations. Not Jeremiah. His word was to cover all nations. Oh, so there's so much more. I'm going to leave that alone. But I do want to close this on the subject that we have a presidential prophet called Daniel. Daniel, the king of Babylon, made him a prophet, and he was a president at the same time, and he ruled the entire occult sphere in Babylon. And that's where we are today. And God made him 10 times better in everything that they did as a collective, as well as individually, so that he would have the last say on what happened in Nebuchadnezzar's realm to his people. See, Daniel was raised up and he was made president to protect God's interests. And God's highest interest is always his people.
What should the next steps be for the politicians, Christians, and non-Christians who don't agree with what is presently happening in our country?
You know, we make it seem like the Bible only talks about the Christian, but it talks about a righteous. It says, if you receive a man, a righteous man, according to his righteousness, you will share in that righteous reward. So this is not just about Christian, which is why me being appointed the chairman of Faith Community Outreach for the OKGOP is very effective. I think it's an amazing strategy. I applaud our chairman, Senator Dom, for appointing me. But there's the righteous, and there are a lot of people. I don't want to be a Christian, but I don't want to see my nation go down. I may not appreciate, I don't even know what I feel about this Jesus thing. But what I do know is that I am a citizen of a great nation, and I want to see it become great again. So you start with, first of all, exploring the playbook, the battlefield. Where the battlefield is not exclusively political or rhetorical. It's not just an ideology. It is not just a philosophy. It's all of those combined, but they're synergized by a spiritual force. And we've got to tap into that spiritual force. Then we have to find out how that spiritual force may be counteracted, countermanded, removed, superseded. We have to do that. And that requires going back to the God of the land. You know, there God says in his word that everybody walks in the name of their gods. Part of this deception is because people are telling you they're walking in the name of Christianity, but they're actually peddling their God. They're actually putting their gods in. And who faced off with them? Historically, God has used his prophets to expose it, he's used his prophets to expose it, to unmask it, to define it, to confront it, because you can't, as much, I have a church, but a pastor can't do this job. But pastor's too concerned about the loss and the costs, because they are a domestic office. And you think about the people who handle the domestic side of our country. We don't expect them to do diplomacy. We don't really expect them to go and do the military, because we have to take care of home base. And so they are not, I don't think they're failing us, to be honest with you, by not wanting to rise up to this battle, because this battle has never been won by them. It's never been fought by them. Now you can say, well, yeah, but you know, when we founded America, we had pastors. No, you had people that conform to the only title they would let out there. I am very concerned about the fact that we have fivefold and we don't hear anything but pastors. We've got threefold, we don't hear anything but pastors. How did we come down to them being the superhero or the superpowers of the ecclesia? What about all of the other ministers that God has? We need all hands on deck right about now. We need everybody learning this thing, learning the prophetic, learning how God saves nations, learning what he's done, because even the politicians know they're facing and fighting something that is bigger than them, that is mightier than them, a faceless adversary that seems to exert a power that can't be defined. So that is what prophets do. And the church is going to have to get out of the way and let God's first and second officers take the charge, take the lead, and then pull everybody on board. That is what I see happening.
Who are the ideal guests for the Spirit of Faith Political Prophetics podcast?
Well, the ideal guest of political leaders, and the higher the leader, the more ideal you are, because it's, no matter how much we want to talk about grassroots and foot, the establishment is what it is. Grass is grass. It's not going to turn into a tree. It's not going to agree. So that do it. So we need them. Let's not get rid of them. But God always works with the head. You work with the head. I mean, just think, tomorrow you wake up, your head's not working. Guess what? It doesn't make a difference what the rest of your body can do. Your head is not doing its job. You're not moving, or you're not functioning properly. So I want those elected officials, appointed officials, business leaders. I have them. We have some that are already, we have interviews for, and then we have others that are, we are recording. Political leaders, heads of political organization, PACs and such. But I want to have that. And then I still want to have the county chairs and the precinct leaders. I want these people. Why? My passion is to show my audience and the audience of those in the state who follow us that the Republican and conservative people out front do care for them. I am always surprised at how the public sees them one way and how they talk about the public, many of them, in a whole different vein. I've met some very godly leaders, some very Christ-centered, prayerful people. And that is what I want to showcase, because the Spirit of Faith Political Prophetics podcast is not about politics per se. In other words, we're nonpartisan. We're not talking about this one's trend or that one's agenda. It is not any of those things. It is the neutral place that everybody can come, and whatever their political persuasions are, their community attitudes or their civics may be, they can come and say, yeah, but we need to save this land. Yes, but we need to deliver the citizens of the United States. Yes, we need to find a better way to do what we have done in the past. We need to protect ourselves, our coffers from being emptied, our borders from being destroyed, and from those sitting in seats of power just wielding tyrannical swords and clubs against us. We do that. And everything starts with a prophet. But even before the prophet, the most powerful intercessors in scripture were prophets. And it's the prophets that determine how heaven will respond to intercession and intervention. And so some of the things that I want you to think about doing, I intend to have in my office under the chairman of Faith Community Outreach, a prayer board. I want you to think about putting your prayers up there. If you feel like you have a word or a prayer or a message to give that is beyond the votes and elections, we don't ignore that, but we're dealing with the spiritual power. If you feel you have one of those, then post it. Because one of the things I want you to remember from this few moments that we spent together, and that is, if we take out the spiritual problem, the humans can get the job done. Because God did not give this planet into the hands of spirit, but he gave it into hands of humans. He gave it into the hands of the children of men. This is our planet. And every time we turn around, we are running into various demonic, devilish campaigns to annihilate us from our planet, or to humiliate us so much so that we will let the invisible world that has lost it regain it by enslaving us. I think it's time for us to stand up. I think it's time for us to speak out. But most importantly, those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And as you follow me week after week, broadcast after broadcast, I want you to remember this. God starts everything with a prophet, because he does everything by his word. He always retakes ground and retakes cultures and communities and countries with prophets. And you need to make sure. Now, don't go out there and just go to this grand mall of prophets and then start bringing people in. No, I have much of the information that you need. I have a way for you to assess them. I have an assessment tool. I have textbooks, manuals, classes, tutorials, structures. So we don't have to just dive in because it's just quick. Well, my brother gave me a word that I agree with and it came to pass, so I'm going to make him my prophet. No, that's not how this works. You need to find out who God is assigning to you. A political prophet is a very unique type of mantleship. And in over the course of the next several broadcasts, I'll be dropping some clues into that mantleship. But you should don't just jump in and dive in. And as you decide a prophet, ask yourself, when a prophet is not futurizing or predicting, what do they do the rest of the hours of the day? Because that determines whether or not you even understand what a prophet's role is in politics or any other sphere of domain.
Thank you for tuning into the Spirit of Faith Political Prophetics podcast. If you are a local, regional, or national civil or kingdom leader, politician, or city or state official interested in being interviewed by Dr. Price, visit okspiritoffaith.com and complete the interview request form.